InsideSTL.com is partnering with LouFest this year and offering 1 and 2 day passes for our exclusive area at the festival in Forest Park this September, presented by the independent tire dealers. For the same price as general admission, listeners have access to dedicated bathrooms, a private cash bar, outdoor lounge with TVs, lawn games with prizes, and of course, mingling with some of your favorite CBS Sports Radio talent. The tickets are on sale now and only a limited number remain. Visit InsideSTL.com and get yours before they're gone.
Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:09 in St. Louis, you're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. I kind of like that pause. I think I'm now going to incorporate that. I feel like that worked.
Tim.
It's good. Use it.
This is a unique line combination because usually Charlie is in for the cat or for me because Doug rarely takes time off, even though, much like the Sea Monster, who'll be using a cottage I bought in Southampton on Long Island in a couple weeks when he goes vacationing. Doug is off today, and so we have the combination of me. My name is Tim, and I am by far actually the most valuable person, not just here, but I think in the world.
Yeah.
Thank you. The cat back from Cincinnati, kind of a fun game yesterday.
Not a fun team.
It was close.
And Charles Leonard Marlowe, and the cat, have you noticed, he shaved, he's got a fade now.
I kind of respect that because, let's be honest, the hair was getting a lot of attention. People seemed to enjoy it and praise his hair. And you know what Charlie did? Charlie said, I'm not defined by my beautiful locks.
I think that's what that decision was.
There's more to me.
I'm more than my hair, boys.
And even though it was a positive, you were like, no, get to know me.
Yeah.
Don't be fooled by my beautiful hair.
I like
Good
that.
For you, Charlie, except for the fact that you argue a lot with our guests, and I'm a little intimidated sitting here.
You should be. I'm ready.
You both spar with Derek
Gould. Ready to go.
No, not really you, the cat.
I think
Doug.
I think over time I've beaten Gouldsy down a little bit where he just chooses not to argue with me.
May I say, though, Kat and I were discussing this. I don't think in this current building that this lineup has been together because I was thinking to myself, I don't think I've ever sat in this
seat.
The middle seat.
Wow. You riding bitch.
I am, right in the middle.
Plow Brave. It's a little cold in here today, isn't it, Plowberry? This is the first time I've ever said that. Charlie said the same thing.
This is the time where you need nipple hair, Tim, and I shaved it a week and a half ago, so a little disappointed in myself.
Nice.
But yes, it is a little chilly.
That's fine.
No, we'll be fine.
We'll be fine. That's a Marty line. We'll all be fine.
It's all good. And you know what? The hot takes will warm us up. Ring it.
Yeah, you know, Charlie, you don't have a bell today. How tough is that going to be?
That is bad.
I don't know if it's in the exit poll or not, but if we ask the panel... And we wouldn't ask Plowbrave this because we know the answer, but who on the show are you a lemming of? You know, because we're not really lemmings of the other people.
Right.
I portray myself as a Tim Lemming so you don't fire me.
Because right.
Obviously I don't have much value on
I'm
the show.
Quick on the trigger on firings.
Yeah. But I am a sort of a... I have been a Marlowe lemming for a long time.
Aww.
Right? Is that true?
Yes.
I've always been
supportive. But aren't we all lemmings of each other? Isn't that why we enjoy doing the show? Would you really... Let's be real. If you really didn't like... the person you're doing radio with for 3 hours a day for multiple years and a decade for you guys, I mean, you couldn't do it. You wouldn't want to do it.
Right. That's true. Yeah, I think that is true for the style of radio that I like, that probably, because you have to be able to give each other crap, and if you don't like the person, then you're not comfortable giving them crap and then also taking crap.
Well,
so there's truth to that.
If you're like me and you don't get sleep and then you come into the studio...
I don't know how you and Doug do it.
Because once I'm here, it's actually an enjoyable experience because you and Doug and Charlie are very funny. And I always tell people, those guys actually make me laugh, even when I come in a little cranky. So the show itself is enjoyable. The getting up and the not sleeping isn't. But once I'm here, it's all good because you guys are actually... funny, in my opinion.
Did you tell Matt Holliday that yesterday when you gave him the Lemming shirt?
That whole thing, I put on Twitter speechless because I was. I told
you. So how did that come to pass? Charlie, remember how the mic was blocking you yesterday? It's blocking the cat today. I gotta move this.
Well,
I can't just get it. It's now. Here we go. All right. Thank you. All right. Good.
There we go.
Let's give people a little behind the scenes on this. So I said, I'm going to take one of these Lemming shirts to Matt Holliday. You know, I'm on the road with the Cardinals and sometimes have lunch with them.
Your friends
and
with the
know
players.
Them very well.
Absolutely.
And I said, I'm gonna go ahead and pack this shirt up and take it and on a lark. And then after the show, Tim put his finger in my chest and said, "You want to work here?" He wears that shirt.
Right. Well, it was sent via email last Friday at 5 o'clock. But yeah.
So the pressure was on. So I get to the ballpark and I'm carrying around the shirt. Which a number of the players said, "What is that? Why are you carrying a shirt around? Because anything I do, becomes topic in the,
Who on the roster is most focused on you? Charlie, take a guess. I want to take a guess, too.
I feel like
it's got to be somebody in the bullpen because I think they have the most free time. It's got to be a pitcher.
I will say this.
I don't think any of the starters would meet that personality, although it's not like I know these guys.
I think it's either.
Believe it or not, Leak is very, very much vocal with.
Is that right? Really,
Kevin Segrist.
I was going to say Segrist.
I thought Segrist was in my mix. He was in my range.
He's the guy that any post game interview I'm doing after the game, you hear, "Great question, Jim." It's Kevin Segrist.
But don't you think the new dynamic is this whole Moss Jerko element, and they're kind of changing the clubhouse culture.
They are. The law firm of Jerko and Moss, they were in on that as well. Jerko, yeah, he might be topping the list of people that are all over me. Anyway, so I explain what it is, and Holliday is yet to be seen. He's in the cage or whatever. And so I showed the shirt off, and then Segrist is like telling Zach Duke, "He has a radio show. He's going to ask you to come on there." You probably already had. No, I didn't.
And has Segrist even been on this show ever?
He has one time, I think.
It's probably in Vegas.
One time. But everyone knows the radio show on the team, whether or not they've been on. They always say it's a horrible radio show. They, comes from leadership. So anyway, so I go and I explain that it's for Holliday, and I haven't seen him. And someone said he's in the indoor batting cage.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Well, here's the thing that might have really helped. His brother, who coaches at Oklahoma State, was with him, and his brother is a very nice guy. And I think Matt didn't want to be totally rude in front of his brother, so I said. I actually took the chance while there were people in the batting cage. Matt, I have a gift I'd like to present to you from the radio show.
You stormed in there?
And his brother, I didn't actually go in there. I stood cowardly on the outskirts because I'm not allowed in there.
Gotcha.
You know?
Hey, Holliday.
Hey, Holly.
Hey, Matt.
So anyway, his brother was there, and his brother was like, "I wonder what, you could see he was like intrigued as to what it is." So Matt came
over.
Right,
because he probably streams in Stillwater.
And I said, this is a shirt that our radio station has put out. Lemmings, we sort of refers to Lemmings for the show, our show. And he said, "Why six?" And he goes, "Is that how many listeners you have?"
Bastard! Dump out of that.
Ring the bell. And I said, "We'd like you to wear this." And he said, "It's too big." And he said, "You know what?
Now we've been getting a lot of complaints that the shirts are too small."
Yeah, why don't you have 4X?
Well, this is 2X. I go, "Well, look, it's cotton." He goes, "You know, I'm going to have Ernie, the clubhouse guy, shrink it down." And I said, "This is an upset."
Yeah, there's actual conversations.
So yesterday morning, I go into the clubhouse. As you know, there's journalism to do.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, and I see that it's hanging in his locker
and that
it looks to be shrunk down.
Ready to go.
So I'm over there looking at it, and Matt walks in, and I gestured to the shirt, and he said, "Oh, I guess they shrunk it down." And he looked at it, and he said, "I think this is going to fit." And I go, "Well, how about you put it on, and I'll take a pic."
Wonderful.
And he said, "Okay."
What's going on here?
And I was almost ready. And he wore it around.
That was my question. Did he take it off immediately?
No, he wore it around.
And did all the other players say, "I want one too"?
They said, "When can I be on the show?"
I knew it. I knew it at work.
He's got that amazing radio show.
And I explained that the lighter blue, based on a mistake by the company that produced the shirts, are now collector's
items. They're collector's items.
Because the dark blue are the ones that have been distributed to the public proper.
That the Yankee blue, is my graduation cap at Hova.
Okay.
That's the one that's on the market. But the royal blue is a collector's item. And Matt the Bat was posing in the royal blue.
He saw the
value. These are available, Charlie, on InsideSTL.com.
Yeah, it's like a rare error baseball card.
That's right. Like the Billy Ripken Fleer card, 1987, 88, Nurse.
Now Tim, as you know, Matt used to be a friend of the show.
Yeah, I don't. Something happened at spring training. I still, you know, I don't.
He hid from us.
Is and he was walking around? No, definitely wouldn't be you. I think it might be me. I guess we'll see him. We're doing the show from the Pools Golf Tournament on Monday. Haven't seen him since spring training.
I've already mentally connected the dots. This tells me that Matt will come on the show on Monday because we're going to be there and because he's wearing the shirt. And I think at some point he probably said, whatever it is that I, whatever beef I had, life is too short. Oh. I'm speaking for Matt without any knowledge of this, of course, because I didn't discuss it. But I'm going to guess that he thought life is too short and those are great guys who really know baseball.
Oh, my God.
He probably listened to the Mozeliak interview yesterday and said, these guys, they get it.
I think it's probably what he was doing. He was streaming. So should we bring a bunch of Lemmings t-shirts to Meadowbrook on Monday?
Absolutely. Okay. Well, I mean, you got them free, didn't you?
Of course
I did. The light blue ones, right?
They were kind enough after we had a miscoloring. Is that how you call it? And I said, well, we'll send them back.
They misremembered the order.
You know, the fan page, I put it on the fan page. You have whatever it is, 3,700 or so great Americans, loyal listeners. I don't allow bots in. Because I think on a daily basis I get maybe five people from the Kuala Lumpur region who want to join the fan page. And so we don't let bots in. So this is a number of real active members. And I put it on the page and I said, here's the color. I was thinking we would go red and white. People seem to like to wear these things to Cardinal games. But then we gave them the option of navy blue. And navy blue won overwhelmingly. So when the shirts came in and they appeared to me to be royal blue...
You said, wait a minute.
How many people did you fire?
I fired five people that day, and a couple of them were just interns.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, there needs to be a bloodletting over this, even though we had nothing to do with
it. Send a message.
I have to send a message. Exactly right. That's leadership. And, of course, I did it by email. So the company, winning streak, they couldn't have been kinder, couldn't have been more professional, immediately apologized. It was just a simple mistake. And they said, well, you can keep the royal blue if you want them. We're going to send them back. And the navy blues are here, and they are available on InsideSTL.com. And we gave them away at Hot Shots last week, and they're available now if you want to buy them. And you can see Matt the Bat on the fan page and on my personal page.
But the light blue.
Collector's item.
You like to talk about ROI, return on investment. If you've invested nothing in the light blue, and you give them out to some Cardinals and to professional athletes, and people see them, maybe
it's implied value. That's what we call that implied value.
Yeah.
That's implied value. We're not going to be able to quantify that on the P&L, which Jim Enterprises has magically given us a red number at the end of the year. Every year, somehow we're in the red.
We make it work for you.
Thank you. But this implied value of the blue shirts that Cardinal players will be wearing, I could kind of see Edmonds, Ozzie Smith, Bob Gibson, Lou Brock, Whitey Herzog, Tony La Russa, Red Shaney, wearing them at home plate for the Cardinals playoff games this October. And if there are no playoff games, I would imagine they will be wearing the royal blue Lemming shirts at home plate for the home opener in 2017. That's how I've kind of pictured this playing out.
Now, what do we charge for the dark blue ones?
They are $20 per shirt.
So the
Immediately I am condemned for that because this is supposed to be a 501c.
$20
for
a schlepper who's just trying to get by and a guy who's making millions, a professional athlete, of course, we give those to them.
Right.
Which is the way the world
works. Yep. You know, that's what they
really
say.
Unfair.
It's like when you need money, people don't give you stuff for free. And then when you don't need money, you get everything for free. I've heard multiple people in that world talk.
May I just say, too, as we're talking about
Just say it.
Yeah, you keep asking permission to talk. What's going on?
Relationship with the Cardinals. We spoke about this yesterday, and I really enjoyed it.
Did you rip me?
I never rip you. Right. I believe it was Wednesday. You did a pregame interview with Mossy. Now, Moss had the big homer in his first game back. Then he was, what, 2-for-4? I think he was 5 for his first 9. What, he got 1-for-4 yesterday? Yeah. I only know that because of my fantasy team. That's not why I'm bringing
Moss
up.
Moss on your fantasy team?
Yeah, I picked him up when he was on the DL. Hmm. But you did that great pregame interview, and I thought it was hilarious because afterwards, as you're throwing back to, I think, Scott Warman on the set, you could tell there were several Cardinals. Great interview.
Wow, great questions.
Great interview. Like, how many people and who was it that were right around you kind of heckling you?
All the bullpen guys. And,
so
and Colton Wong had had been handling me. And you're doing
what
that.
What do you mean by that?
Well, like you're doing an interview. Like Moss said, there was a short turnaround because it was an early game. So I said to Moss, hey, can we grab you and pre-tape an interview? And he said, yeah, can we do it in here because it's hot out? And what? So sure, I go, just know, it's not we're going to be, you know, bothered. And he said, man, it'd be fun. So we do it right there. And, of course, as soon as we're talking, I feel like someone, like, tickling me in the around the rib cage area. And it's Colton Wong. And I think to myself, I'm not going to bust this interview. I'm just going to see what I can get out of it. And then we pan, and I said, Colton Wong was just handling me. And I turned the camera over, and you could see he turned his back like, what? I had nothing to do with it. And then people are yelling things. And then at the end, there was some applause, and we were wrapping it up when Brandon Moss announced that we'd be winning an Emmy. And then I said, more, please. And then there was a pretty loud ovation. But I think it was good because people could actually see the clubhouse, which they never get a chance to do.
A peek behind the
and
curtain.
And then the impact of Mike Leake, who didn't pitch so well yesterday. But Zach Duke is one of the new Cardinals, and he was explaining to Zach Duke who I was. Leake calls me James Harrison Hayes, which is my full name, and he calls me James. And Zach Duke apparently is a smart guy who quietly takes everything in. I did a live interview with him at the top of the show, introducing Cardinal Nation, because they all watch the pregame show,
of course,
to the new Cardinal. And at the very end, I said, Zach, welcome, and thanks for the time. And he said, thank you, James. He
wow.
threw the James out.
James.
So he had been briefed by Mike Leake.
Yeah.
Man, this
James
is awesome.
James Harrison Hayes.
Good I wonder name, if right? For, had, especially for handling me.
It actually sounds like it sounds like a president. James Harrison Hayes.
Well, I am presidential. Don't
you are.
Me.
William Henry Harrison?
Yeah, it kind of sounds like that.
I believe he is considered one of the worst presidents of all time, but wasn't he the one who was only in office for like a month?
32 days,
there you go.
What happened there?
Allegedly got pneumonia at his inauguration, which was cold as balls, as history says. Cold as balls inauguration.
William Henry Harrison, Tippy Canoe, and Tyler too, maybe?
Darnell Coles.
Hitting coach of the Brewers. Good call, Tim.
Thank
Very
you.
Important guy on the landscape.
Yeah, way to go.
Acorns Golf Links, 7 o'clock hour. Welcome to it. Get involved in it. 314-880-0808. Those are the appliances counter phone lines. You can also text in on that same number, 314-880-0808. And then on top of that, Charlie... We allow the listeners to email in, and let's take a gander at what we're giving away for email of the day. A pair of Bud Bash Cardinal tickets next Tuesday, August 9th, versus the Cincinnati Reds. You'll get a mini bobble of Aaron Miles. You also could get upgraded to the VIP Bash, which includes an autograph session. VIP event starts 2 hours before game time. You can text in and win a pair of passes to Werenberg Theaters for the text of the day, 314-880-0808. On our Tease Farms, Captain's Log, Tease Farms, the official shrub of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Look at this. Look at this sea monster. Tom Glavine will
Tom
be with
Glavine?
Us at 8
o'clock.
No, no.
Was he a
Glavine,
player?
Hall of Famer. He was part of the Braves rotation with Greg Maddux and John
Try
Smoltz.
Trying to argue with him.
And Steve Avery.
I'm sorry.
And Kevin Millwood.
And who else? You said Steve Avery.
Darnell. Cool.
Well,
Mike Hampton for a minute. Cat? Who's had that fourth guy was always kind of a...
I think Hampton was there.
Kind of a...
Briefly.
A rotating.
Hampton shipped the Cardinals in 2000. Hampton and Leiter. Cardinals had a bunch of lefties. They were a left-handed pitching staff, and it shipped them real nicely. Real nicely.
I got to tell you that road trip, and I was able to come back for a couple days, but that's a brutal road trip. These three set... You know, they make millions, and I get that. But, I mean, if you're a player, like... I was tired just doing my 12-second, hits during
game. Well, the way it started after the Sunday night game and then the travel delay flying into New York City, and then where do you guys fly into when you fly into New York? I mean, either way, it's a pain in the ass to get into Manhattan if you're coming
in. Yeah,
and
we hit the morning rush hour.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So you get in at 7 in the morning, you're coming into the city.
We got to the hotel like 8 a.m. And then if you're, I get it. We stay in nice hotels. If you're a guy who just has trouble sleeping, in certain hotels or whatever, and then on the back of that, I mean, you could really be pretty weary.
Well.
And then the heat, like even in Miami, it's a dome, same, like 85 degrees. I don't know what they're doing with the dome. It's supposed to cool the air a little bit. I'm just saying it was a rough road trip, even for a media guy who basically does nothing like
right.
myself.
Of course.
Yeah, your life's really difficult. How about the people out there struggling with real problems?
Guys.
Trying to put food on their kids' table. So, sorry you got into New York City a little late.
I'm sorry.
Populist
all over my chest.
My point is that if you're a player actually doing something, yeah, I can see it, that was one of the road trips that would wear you down.
I thought that was going to be – I was stunned, candidly, that the Cardinals, if I'm not mistaken, they won 4 of 5 to start that road trip, but yet they finish 5 and 5. And I wouldn't want to describe it necessarily as devastating, but when you're sitting there 4 and 1 having beaten Syndergaard and Jose Fernandez –
And getting to Familia, who was untouchable at that point.
And Kenley Jansen a couple days before.
Yes, and you're looking at, now that's the Dodgers home series, but yes, they did get to him, even though they lost 2 or 3 against the Dodgers.
But that's not really what Tim was talking about.
But it's an accurate point. 4 and 1, and then you're looking at Colin Ray, he of the Padres, then the Marlins for 4 innings, and then the Padres again. And then 3 against the Reds after Cashner on Sunday. My God, at that point you're thinking, crap, you could theoretically go 7-3 or 8-2 on this thing, and then to go 5-5 and lose 2 or 3 against the Reds. You know, they're very fortunate that the Marlins went up to Chicago and got swept by the Cubs, because otherwise the Cardinals would not be tied in that wild card spot. So as it stands, it really strikes me as a missed opportunity, although going into that trip, if you would have said, okay, what's the road trip going to be, I would have said 5-5. They just got there taking a different route. So as things stand going into this series against the Atlanta Braves, and nobody's playing better than the Braves.
Hey, they got Kemp, right?
They do, and they have less than 40 wins, unlike anybody else in baseball. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, but the wins they got are special.
That's right. That's
and if you
exactly
look at their
right.
war, it's a lot better than their record.
Yeah, and if you look at the run differential of -133, nobody else has anything.
That's misleading. That
it's
is
skewed weird. By a couple losses by 37 wins.
They're 30 games under 500. So as we head into the series, you'd like to think that they would be able to capitalize on that. But at the same time, you would have thought they would capitalize on taking on the Reds fresh off the trade deadline, and they lose 2 of 3. And yesterday was a rather listless thing. And I don't know, with the benefit of hindsight, you know, it's like after the Jaime Garcia start doesn't work and people go, God, how dumb was it to start him on 3 days rest? Well, where were you? Where were all the Jaime Garcia on 3 days rest people on Twitter before he pitched? That's what I needed to tweet out. Where are all the I'm pro Jaime Garcia on short rest people? But I don't like that. Going into this strikes me as an opportunity, so I would be very surprised if they didn't win at least 2 of 3. So even though the National League Central and even somebody such as Doug, who usually the St. Louis teams, you know, will always win in his eyes, God bless him.
I thought that was me.
he's going, okay, yeah, the Central probably isn't going to be happening this year. The Cardinals are 9.5 back of the Cubs. They do have 4 in Chicago next week there, starting Thursday. What you're really in a weird spot is you're pulling for the Cubs against the Marlins, and so you're tied with the Marlins, 57-51. Both teams 57-51, and the Dodgers are leading the pack at 60-48, but it's really the Dodgers and Giants back and forth in the National League West. Dodgers are just 2 back of the Giants, so it could be the Giants as well that you got to keep an eye on. And then there's the hard-charging Colorado Rockies.
They're playing well.
Yeah, 54-54, but they lost yesterday. So that's what we have for you in the National League wildcard race. The Cardinals have a pretty good situation over the next 6 games against the Braves and the Reds, who you would think they'd be able to handle. But we saw what happened in Cincinnati this week, and then 4 in Chicago. And we will all be in Chicago this time next week, if I'm not mistaken. And I want to do the show up there, but I don't know.
Who's going to be in Chicago?
Aren't you going to be there?
Yeah.
Okay. But Charlie's going. I'm
well,
going.
He said all of us. That would be all 3 of
yeah,
us.
Yeah, I mean, that,
well, it could have been Seymour. It could have been Plowsy.
Plowhawk doesn't really travel.
Well, he went to Chicago recently, didn't you, Plowsy?
He has a travel restriction.
Yeah, it was a bachelor party and met old Deke Dotem. At a, smoked with him at the side of a bar across the street from Sluggers.
Old Sluggers.
You know what? I'm not one to, but I did. I gave Plowsy a little something. I said, hey, buy some drinks on me.
Right? Oh, and did I ever, buddy?
And it was threw a good you a time. 5.
But you're not really a drinker.
No.
He drinks.
I mean, it depends on the situation. I will never just go out and just drink on a weekend if I'm not with a group of buddies or it's not like some sort of celebration. Usually I just chill at the house. I got my Dineys. I got my NC Dub. I got my puppy. I got, you know,
what
frozen
are dinies?
Usually I understand your language, but I have no idea what Dineys are.
It's like a dynasty you create on NC Dub. We talked about this the other day.
NCAA.
Yeah. NCAA football.
And who's your squadron?
West Virginia.
West Virginia.
West Virginia with Marshall Faulk on the team.
Mizzou's first opponent.
I have no idea the roster planning on this game.
I just saw some Marshall Faulk highlights on my phone as I was creating my player, and I just thought, hey, I'll name him Marshall Faulk.
All right.
That's what's going on at the Plowhawks place on the weekends. Billy Jesus weekend, Plowhawk? Nurse? Nancy?
Oh, I'll be bringing a tent and camping there all weekend, Timmy.
Wow, wow, wow. What, tonight, tomorrow, and Sunsman?
Yes, sir.
I would like to go out and have some booze. That's what I would like to do. But it's raining. And I don't know if it's supposed to be raining tonight.
I did see and hear yesterday, because I was watching the weather segment.
Dave
that
Murray.
It's supposed to be. We got Dave Murray. We have John Fuller on Channel 11. He also did the 11 o'clock news last night. We have some great meteorologists. But they both said this is going to be a very cool, comfortable weekend. After yesterday, Kat, was it,
oh
was
my
it record
God.
Heat? It was humid.
It was brutal yesterday.
You weren't here.
Brutal.
No. But it was brutal there, too.
I would imagine. Cincinnati can be rough weather-wise, too. It's
and it was
to St. Louis.
It was like a sticky heat.
Yeah, it was brutal.
That's so tough for the players. I feel bad for them,
nice.
What they have to go through.
Nice take.
Well, you should go down to the ballpark when they with me today and just hold guys accountable.
I will. I'll be shooting the camera, though, too.
Guys,
it's hard to hold him accountable.
I can't hold Matt Holliday accountable.
While holding the camera?
I'm trying to adjust the iris of my lens.
Guys, party at Butch McGuire's, the bar, not my apartment. Thanks. That's from Butch McGuire. I'm shooting up to the rooftop at Ballpark Village for the Cardinals game on Sattersbin for my 40th. Come join us, Timmy. That comes from Pocket Full Of. I feel like there's a word missing there. Pocket Full Of.
Lint?
Could be.
Change?
Yeah, I don't think I'll be down.
Pocket Full Of Kryptonite. Maybe that's Spin Doctors.
Spin Doctors.
They're coming back. It's a big
92.
Year for them.
Two Princes, Charlie. Is that 92? 91?
That one album.
Little Miss Can't Be
Little
Wrong.
Little Miss Can't Be Wrong.
I thought that girl in that video was fine, by the way. You're fine. Or was she in Two Princes? Tell me, nurse.
I don't know.
All right, I'm going to look that up. I'll get on that. You guys got anything
lost his
on
voice
them?
Or something?
The lead singer?
Yeah.
He had the long, curly hair, right?
He did. Seemed he was like he smoked like a lot of chronic.
Yeah, kind of a hippie type.
But they had a nice run of a couple years of they being a pretty significant factor.
But then they fell off, and I think it's because this guy developed voice problems.
We got to get him on?
We got to get him on.
Does he speak through like a voice modulator box now?
No, I think he got it back, and now he'll be a casino queen.
Sweet.
For a dollar.
Charlie, you want to go to that?
For $7.
Let's see. I got Two Princes up on me YouTube. Meanwhile. Hey, Mike. Nurse. Nancy. Chase Elaine.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Mike. How are you?
Hi, Mike.
A delay.
Hey, okay, I'm going to surgery.
What?
Surgery, I think.
Oh, surgery.
Okay, I'm going to bad surgery.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, I'm scared.
Well, you're going to come out better than ever, and a lot of people are pulling for you, and you're going to be great here in a couple of weeks after surgery, sir.
I'm scared going in.
Yeah, but you're going to be better coming out, so just remember that. You're going to be fine.
I got about 7 back there. I got 7 on my back.
7 discs?
Yeah. Took 7 hours surgery.
Man. Well, we're all rooting for you, and you're going to be great.
Did you get a new bike yet?
No. Penny don't know how to get it.
Penny's going to get it?
I don't know. All not right. yet. Not yet.
Not yet, Charlie. But the listeners were kind enough to raise, I think, like $1,200 or $1,300 in less than a day.
Really?
Yeah.
Our listeners are amazing. Yet.
It's anytime.
That's amazing.
Anytime. It's amazing. It really
and,
is.
Anything for Doug.
Hey, Doug.
Charlie.
Yeah, what's up?
Well, is that not here today?
He's not.
That's a fail, Charlie.
Just, Doug. Mike, pretend I'm Doug. Just keep talking as if I'm Doug.
I just over coffee.
Okay.
Yes.
You want to kiss my ass?
Sure.
It's not the way that it usually goes. All the time.
Dang,
usually you go, usually you go hey, you
calm
go,
down.
Usually you go, hey, Doug, do that.
Charlie, it's the Little Miss Can't Be Wrong video.
Okay.
I want to get a good look at her because I haven't seen the video in about 25 years, but I remember when I was a freshman at the university high school and I was practicing involuntary celibacy that she stood out to me as being fine. But now I'm trying to get a good look to see if I was wrong and if my bar was too low. Oh, look at the old...
It's a good song.
It is a good song.
Like, if I heard this on the radio, I'm turning it up.
It was played ad nauseum in 91.
As it should be.
I'm going to put that on my
phone. Boy, this guy's so high. This reminds me of the Flow Hawk at Hot Shots.
This is a good song.
I agree, Charlie.
He's wearing a pinky ring. Surprising.
And a toe ring.
I don't know about that. Man, I still think she's fine, man. I still think she's fine. You know, sometimes I do think she's fine. Can't figure out her ethnicity. Anybody got her ethnicity?
Peruvian.
Could be. Well, she's fine, man. Like a little stoner chick. I like that. That's what I need. Plowhawk, are you attracted to stoner chicks since you're kind of a stoner cat?
You see, in high school, I wasn't, just because they would smoke your stash without paying for it. So kind of, I mean.
That's a totally good answer.
As a guy living paycheck to paycheck, working at Pizza Hut, you know, 35 hours a week, my money's my money, and I didn't like them infiltrating on my stash. So that's, but later in life, now that I know women actually pay, you know.
Sometimes they pay for everything, like your ex.
Yeah, and sometimes they pay for half. And so I guess I prefer a stoner over an alcoholic, I guess that would be, if that was.
Great answer.
Yeah. So,
what about a dental tech?
If you can make good money, go for it. I mean, I'm not going to be the breadwinner, but I'll be the entertaining portion of the relationship. So
I'm guessing, though, when you were in high school, it was kind of skewed where if the young lady was really attractive, you probably didn't mind as much her stealing your stash, where if she was maybe lesser caliber, maybe that bothered you a little more.
Charlie, you got a point there. Was in a couple of situations to where it did not matter whose stash it was at the time. So, yes, you are correct.
Thank you. I'm watching the Little Miss Can't Be Wrong.
Same
video.
Here.
It's very colorful.
Wonderfully colorful. Don't you think she's beautiful? Am I right on this or am I wrong on this?
I'm trying to see the young lady here.
They don't show her enough. They keep showing that stoner dude throwing paint on his bandmates.
Yeah. She kind of looks like a hippie look with the jean shorts.
Like she might not wash her jeans every few times.
Yeah, probably smells like patchouli.
And B.O., a little B.O. maybe.
The patchouli usually is there to veil the B.O. from traveling with Mickey Weir.
Is it the brunette?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say she's like a dime, but she's definitely attractive.
Dime.
God, you guys are cool.
Well, I just got shot down. I don't know. And then I can't find a picture of her because I don't know her name, so I can't ask the fan pin. But the fan pin kind of has this habit of pissing on the women that I find attractive. It's a weird thing, but then at the same time, if you're very active on the fan pin, you're probably one of the greatest cocksmen of our time.
Sure.
The fan pin is not Google. You could Google who is the model in Spin Doctor's Little Miss Can't Be Wrong.
All right, I'm on that. You guys want to talk about the Braves?
I'm still watching here.
Okay. Kat, they have a lot talk about the...
Right, they were a good band.
Yeah, they have a lot of tight shots of the lead singer.
Well, he was the star.
That's how anytime we do a photo shoot for this show, there's a lot of tight shots of me.
A lot of their fans say they sold out, though. Went too pop.
Once they got popular, they left their fan base that got them there.
Oh, I need the name on this girl, and I can't find it.
But did you Google it, Tim?
Yeah.
And what was the response from Google?
It's just a bunch of stuff about the Spin Dees. God bless America. And the explanation of the song. I don't really need to know.
I'm having an internet issue studying
The Graduate here.
They have like a kaleidoscope effect for some of these
wonderful
shots in the music video.
Anybody got a name on Little Miss Can't Be Wrong, like the girl in there?
I think it's fair to say that she wasn't a woman who, after this video, it didn't launch her career to great.
Like Courtney Cox.
That's what I'm saying.
It wasn't
like that.
I'll check the text inbox, see if somebody's got it. I see Zambo's accurate. Tim, you serious? I get mad. And then it's a five-letter word for cat or kitten. I don't think I can say it.
You should. Even if you can, you should.
You get mad at... What does he get mad at?
What? He said, Tim, you serious? I get mad. And then it's another five-letter word for cat.
Oh,
or
I get mad.
He gets a lot of women.
Yeah, gotcha.
I see. Somebody just texted, her name was Ethel Mertz. That'd be surprising.
I could see a young Ethel Mertz, maybe, even though that was much... much later than the Honeymooners.
Do you think women nowadays, like what percentage of young ladies born in the last, let's say, 10 years are named Ethel?
Zero.
You think it's really zero?
Well, I mean, it's certainly less than 1%.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, though, because back in the day, that was a relatively popular name.
Beatrice was a popular name.
Yeah, that's what I would call producer Joe when he would have one of his pissy
fits. Agnes.
Yeah.
Gert.
The last person named Gert.
How about Gertie?
Drew Barrymore, E.T.
I was going to say Gertie, I believe, is the name of the daughter in the Ben Affleck movie. Is it Jersey Girl?
I never watched Jersey Girl. Wasn't it terrible?
It was pretty terrible. Okay. But
your girlfriend made you go see that with her, right?
No, it's probably 15 years ago, right?
Yeah, it was in the early 2000s.
The little girl, I believe her name was Gertie, and she was very cute, and she was named after her mother in the movie, who was Jennifer Lopez, because her name was Gertrude. And then she passed away, and it's Ben Affleck.
Spoiler, sorry.
Sorry, guys. And then it's Ben Affleck trying to raise his daughter while still accomplishing his dreams, Kat. Sometimes you realize, though, that family is more important than your career.
I would like to show you a picture, not great radio, but I took Tyler to go see The Secret Lives of Pets, wonderful movie.
I heard it's great.
Great.
All seriousness.
But if you're a guy that's tired and you're in a nice movie theater, comfortable seats and beautiful air conditioning, it's nice and cool, this is what happens. And then your wife takes a picture of you.
Just snoozing.
Tim, look at me.
I saw that you showed it before you went to Cincinnati. And I supported it then, and I support it now, sir.
You're such a dad.
The cat is an incredibly happy father.
He is.
Well, I got a great kid.
He's an incredibly... I remember I was over at the cat's house, one of the only times I've ever been over to the cat's house. And he said, you know what? You need to get one of these. And he was pointing at young Tyler.
Young fun. Ty.
Do you call him Ty? You don't call him Ty, do you?
I don't call him Ty.
Are you pissed that Charlie does?
No.
Okay.
I'm not. Tyler got a little too much exposure, however, of Danny Mac. Because yesterday we got dropped off, my wife and son picked me up, and we took Danny to his house. And having Danny in the car talking to your kid for a while, you got to unlearn some stuff.
Like what, for example?
Language might be a little less than what we're hoping for Tyler.
So would you...
But Danny is a father of his own. He's got four kids.
Absolutely. Would you admonish him when he would say a word that you didn't want your young son to hear?
No, it was just borderline stuff. He was... Actually, Dan was trying to get at me by, you know, talking.
Kind of teetering on the edge of appropriateness.
There's 281,000 Ethels, and 99% of them are female names. So apparently there's 1% of American males that have the name Ethel.
I disagree. I think that's a stat that has some sort of flaw. I can't imagine.
I disagree with you.
You think there's more than one man in this country?
Yes, and here's why. Because in another culture, probably the name Ethel or Ethel is a man's name in a culture that we're not familiar with.
Okay, let's verify it. Can you do the same with the name Veronica and see what percentage of men are named Veronica, which was a great song by Elvis Costello.
Elvis Costello.
Thank you.
And it was about a woman suffering from Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you play that for me, Plowhawk?
What's up, Tim?
Please play the song Veronica.
Yeah,
Elvis
that.
Costello.
You can now, call me anything you like, but my name is Veronica.
Right. Now, here's a fascinating story, and I imagine KMOX is eventually going to get all over this. But I am getting information from both the text inbox and from Google that the girl in Little Miss Can't Be Wrong is Ashley Dupree. And does that name remind you of anything? When
no.
I say it, you will remember. Ashley Dupree was the escort who took down former New York Governor Elliot Spitzer.
Really?
But I don't know. This woman has to be. I mean, the video was shot in like 91, 92. And so she's got to be. I mean, at that point, she's got to be born in the early 70s. And Ashley Dupree, I think, was born in 85, based on what I'm doing over here with my research while you guys...
Well, here's a picture of the Ashley Dupree that took down Spitzer. Does she look similar?
Everybody needs to be on Google Images for this segment, by the way.
We need to do the forensics on
right.
this.
But the fact that she was born in 85, as Tim said.
Yeah. That means this would be a six-year-old throwing paint on people,
well,
which would be kind of like a Michael Jackson video. Do you guys happen to have Veronica from Elvis Costello available? Doug, you want to, the cat, you will get your request. Here you go. That's not Ashley Dupree. I mean, it could be Ashley Dupree, but it's two different Ashley Dupree.
The New York football giant.
AM radio, rock and roll.
Can we just play songs?
Yeah. I was thinking about doing that as I was driving in today. There are actually rules, but you have to play a certain amount of minutes for it to be an issue, and we don't ever come close to that. Plus, I think Joshua, isn't listening.
With raising hands on eyes. Veronica,
what does that mean?
You know what it means? She's in her own world, and she's fine with it.
Okay.
You can do whatever you want in her current surroundings. She's not there. That's what it means to me. She's in her own place.
It's a good heartbreaking video.
Upbeat song, though.
But it's an upbeat pace. The tempo is, but yet the content is tragic. So if you just pay attention to the pace,
I disagree that it's tragic.
You would think, but it's a woman dying of Alzheimer's.
I don't know if she's
what's upbeat about that.
She lived a good life.
No, what it means is
it's like Born in the USA. People think it's one thing, but it's not.
That's what I was thinking.
What it means is she's fine in her own place. Yes, it's tragic the way they treat her. They steal her clothes. But she's okay because she knows who's
stealing her clothes.
The people that work at this home. Mm.
If you base it just on the music video, it is ultra depressing.
But think about this. At the end of The Notebook, that woman, she had
Gina
Alzheimer's.
Rollins. Nurse?
She had Alzheimer's. And then you had, James Garner, right?
Jimmy Garner,
RIP. And at the end, she came out of the Alzheimer's state.
Just for a brief
moment.
And
they died together in their arms. So that's what I think.
And so did Ryan Gosling.
Yes, that's what I think about when I think of Veronica. And it's to me, it's an uplifting story.
Sounds like you watch a lot of The Notebook, B.
I have seen that movie.
I haven't seen it. It seemed like too serious a subject matter for me to handle.
No, it's like the all-time
girly
chick flick.
It really is.
They all love Ryan Gosling, and it's just a sappy love story. It's not bad.
Yeah, I'm not
though.
Watching it.
Oh, you're so cool and manly.
No, I took my kid to see.
Sorry.
I took my kid to see
Secret
Pets
and
Life
Rambo.
Of Pets. I'm just telling you, I'm not, but I'm not going to. I'm not doing that. If I go with a movie with my wife, we negotiate on something we would both like. I don't have to go see some. She doesn't make me go see the girly stuff.
But most guys have seen The Notebook. I mean, the guys back there, there's three guys. How many
Plowhawk, have you seen? I've got the Plowhawk is less than 50% that he's seen.
Oh, I guarantee you he's seen it.
I've seen it about seven times, boys.
It's on, TBS every day.
Was this during the Plowgirl era?
I mean,
was probably six of them.
I think my first time I watched it, I was 13. Just going in eighth grade to freshman year.
Did your dealer have it on in the background?
No, I didn't smoke then. Thought about it, but didn't. Dating a chick from Farmington, Illinois.
Hey, don't degrade them and call them chicks.
Please call them broads or dames.
Dating the broad lass, honey, from Farmington, Illinois, about 10 minutes away. So I'd have my mom pick her up and bring her back to my crib. And we watched The Notebook. And that was the first time I watched it. And I think I've watched it a couple times by myself just on TBS.
Wow.
It's very motivational.
Wow.
I mean, when you're feeling down, you watch The Notebook, you kind of feel good about yourself.
Yeah, it's a pick-me-up. It's like a key bump.
But also, let's be honest, Rachel McAdams she's nice to look at.
Yeah.
I've always been a big fan.
Look, Charlie.
For my omnipresent quest for lesbianism, Anna Marie has told me that she digs that Rachel McAdams. But I don't dig that Rachel McAdams, so I don't think we're going to have an MFF with her, and therefore she will not be invited to my lesbian orgy for my 40th birthday on September 27th.
So if let's just say we'll play ball here that this is a possibility,
and of course it is.
Right.
I have convinced myself that it is.
But based on what you just said, are you honestly telling me if it's you and Anne Marie at your restaurant or bar, and Rachel McAdams walks up to the table,
right?
And is ready to sit down, and we'll see what happens. You'd turn her away?
Yeah, I would have to. I would have to. I consider myself, much like you, a St. Louis. What are you, at 9?
I think I'm a solid 9.
In Toledo,
I was a 10.
In Las Vegas, it depends on which casino and hotel you're in.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll walk in Bally's and feel like I'm George Clooney, and then sometimes I'll walk through the Encore and feel like I'm Gary Coleman. So there's a nice delta, as the Cardinal General Manager will say. But yeah, with Rachel McAdams, I would just have to say, I'm sorry, this table's full.
I'm a solid St. Louis 9.
I stand by that.
I don't care where I am. I always walk around feeling like Vic Tabak.
See, again, I guarantee you, I'm going to Google this. It's somebody from the 70s who had like a bit part in a show that
wasn't he the cook in Alice?
I'm telling you. Yeah. Every reference, it's some random C-list actor from the 70s or a utility infielder for the Pirates in the late 60s.
I'm pro Talia Shire references
sometimes
myself.
Sometimes I go UL Washington. He had the tooth.
I got his autograph.
Yeah. Like, who is it? Vic who?
Tabak. He played the... Was he also in Summer Rental, and was he the neighbor of John Candy, whose wife got a new set of breasts and he wanted to share with John Candy? Think it might be. Otherwise, that gentleman modeled his character off Vic Tabak and Alice, which I thought was a great strategy and made Summer Rental Best Picture in 84, 85?
Oh, right? I know him.
Of course you do, Charlie.
But he's got a text That's from the Sea Monster who says Tom Glavine is now at 8:20 today.
What?
Yeah. So that means we're going to have to continue to talk about my lesbian orgy for another 25 minutes.
I have an intriguing... I just ordered Little Miss Can't Be Wrong from iTunes because I'm blessed enough.
Right.
And do you know that that song costs 99 cents, but if you want two princes, $1.29.
Wow.
I would think Little Miss Can't Be Wrong would be more expensive.
Now, I can't think of how two princes goes. Can we try to get this here? Was that more popular than Can't Be Wrong?
Plow Brave, do you have two princes? Yeah, it was.
What's the other one we said earlier? Little Miss Can't Be Wrong.
Two princes.
Wasn't there one more, though?
I guess I'll look. I currently
Full have of Kryptonite's a good one.
Yeah, Kryptonite. That's the one I was thinking.
Pocket Full of Kryptonite, baby?
Well, that's the name of the album.
Oh, that's the song, too, right?
Maybe.
I wonder if Bernie's talking about the Spin Doctors right now. I got a counter program.
Yeah.
It's part of the staff meeting. Spin Doctors.
Are we
going
to move on to Oingo Boingo?
There it is, Charlie. Remember this?
Takes me back
to sophomore year at the University High School.
See,
Pocket
all
Full of
these
Kryptonite
songs.
Was an album.
But that's not a name of the song as well?
I don't think so.
Either way. If either of these songs are playing...
It is. I was just listening to it. I do believe.
Oh, really? Is that right?
Yeah.
You think you could burn one listening to these songs?
Yeah, it's the song. I got a pocket full of kryptonite.
Oh, I could burn all...
Oh, yeah, you're right. All right, I withdraw, and I'd like to apologize also.
But Kat, the
Hold
answer
me accountable,
is, yes.
Horse.
Could you burn one to pretty much any song?
Oh, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
What if you went to, like, EDC in Las Vegas?
See, that's not my scene.
I know, but you'd still get high even though there everybody's
that's
like...
That's not really a pot. That's
right, exactly.
Pot. But it's my senses, I'm telling you, I've lived in different areas. I've known nobody around Macomb area. I find the weed. I mean, if I go to EDC...
What do you say? How do you get this? Because honestly, I don't
tells,
really...
I mean, well, and...
Tells?
If you can smell it, that's key. I mean, usually that's the thing. Usually you try to see somebody with a vape pen.
Or
somebody,
a hemp necklace.
Yeah, anything.
Do you
hemp,
say,
tie-dye.
Hey, bro... Do you know anybody who likes to party?
No, what I like to do is always have a little stash with me. So I'll start smoking by that said person. And so, you know, kind of get a feel of if he kind of looks interested or if he walks away, then that answered my question.
I had people smuggle drugs into Florida for my wedding via shampoo bottles. Have you heard of this tactic?
I have. And yeah. I also heard of a great thing about people that ship it from Colorado.
Carl Ravitch.
From Colorado to, like, whether it be St. Louis, New York, or what have you. And in Colorado, if they find it, they just take it. And so the risk really does. I mean, the reward outweighs the risk in that scenario, because if you get caught while trying to smuggle it, you just get it taken away. And if you don't get caught, then you're rewarded when you land with a treat, being an ounce of marijuana.
Very nice, sir.
The first time I ever heard the term, do you party, I was working... as a summer job in a place called Nova Lighting. I was in the warehouse. We used to get the orders. And this guy who clearly looked like a drug subculture guy who was also working there came up to me and said, do you party? And I told him to get away from me.
Look at you. Look
Peer
at
pressure.
You. Look at you.
Yeah.
Tyler, if you're listening, you can be proud of your father today.
Now, partying.
But then, of course, I also stole desk lamps every time I left the facility in bulk. And at every graduation party I went to, I was the only one that brought a gift, a desk lamp for college.
Good for you.
I respect that as well.
When somebody says, do you party, weren't they inferring cocaine?
I think back then it was probably marijuana. I just didn't like the vibe of this guy. Like, I think he wanted to light one up down there in the warehouse. Wasn't going to.
He had a leather jacket on?
No, he had one of those, like, shirts made of gauze. You know those gauze shirts, like they're supposed to look wrinkled and unwashed. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Kind of.
They have two pockets on the shirt.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
little
yeah,
buttons
yeah.
on the pockets, and they look like they've been wrinkled for many years. That's the way you purchase them, and that's so people know, hey, I'm buying this shirt because I smoke weed, and I want you to know I
didn't
do.
Know this.
It's like a cargo
totally, shirt. I'm just totally detached. I really haven't done many drugs.
And on the finding weed at an EDC concert, it's a lot easier, too, because not many people who are probably rolling on X and have a bag of Molly in their pocket are going to be too taken back with somebody going, hey, you want to smoke some weed? Or
right.
Have weed?
But,
in a
but
family
the,
reunion,
the
it's a little bit different.
The supply is probably going to be relatively low.
I would agree. So you have to find the right person.
A guy in a gauze shirt.
Yeah, a guy with a backpack is huge because, you know, he's not carrying around, you know, sandwiches and bottled waters in that backpack. Usually there are drugs and paraphernalia in there. So
what's
that's
EDC? What is that? Is that Steve Aoki?
He would probably,
he's probably
be
been there.
Well, let's get him on the show and see what's going on.
The cat and him are friends. He yeah. follows you on Twitter?
Yeah.
Electric Daisy Carnival.
He let me down when I was trying to win that Kelly Chase Darren Pang contest for getting the Twitter
well,
person.
Who won that? Who was the biggest tweet?
I can't remember, but Steve Aoki would have.
Because I was in the lead, like going into the final day with friend of the show Caden Cross and her 350 or 400,000 followers. But somebody got somebody
wasn't
bigger.
It,
I think it was
MC
Ice
Hammer.
Tea.
It was MC Hammer.
MC Hammer.
MC Hammer.
MC know, Hammer has a million Twitter followers.
I had gotten Lou Ferrigno.
What the hell's he and, tweeting about now?
He buys his followers.
Oh, yeah. I think that goes on in the stag industry.
Yeah, I do that too. I buy followers.
What is the point of buying followers?
No, I did read about it.
What is the point of buying followers?
I did read about it in things like, I forget where I saw this, but they were talking about stand-up comedians. And if you're like a comedian trying to get booked, you want to seem like you have a huge following. So some of those folks would buy followers. So you can go to like the manager of the Giggle Shack and say, look how many followers.
I see what you're saying there. Hey, we're wrapping up the Acorns Golf Links, 7 o'clock hour. Tom Glavin's up next in the 8 o'clock hour. It's a Ryan Kelly Morning Effort.